So Lord, how many of us will be saved? That is the question they are putting it to Jesus. Can be our question too. Will I be saved? Will she be saved? No, Lord, I want a peaceful life in heaven. I don't want my wife to be saved. Will I be saved? But it is the heart of the Lord too. Everyone should be saved. If you look at the scriptures, the gospels, there is this great desire of God to gather, especially in the Gospel of John. From the beginning to the end, there is a theme running around, floating around in the Gospel of John of gathering. He says, when I lifted upon the cross, I will draw everyone to me. Then again, when he speaks about the story of the good shepherd, he says, I have many other sheep who does not belong to this fold, but I have to go and get them. And then again, chapter 17 of the John's Gospel, he reads for greater unity that, Father, may the whole world come to know that you sent your only son and saved the world. There is this heart of the Lord which is for everyone. Not just for Israel, but for everyone. That is why in the first reading we read, you know, there will be people come from Tarshish, Put, Lod, Meshech, Rosh, Tubal and Javan. These are all Gentile towns. From all these people will come to know the love of the Lord. And again in the psalm we read, go out to all the world, tell the good news, because strong is his love for us. He is faithful forever. As I said in the beginning, I will carry you even in your old age, when your hair gone gray, still I will carry you because I created you, I will bear you. There's a beautiful another word from the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God who is in your midst, a warrior who gives you victory. The Lord who fight for us, defends us, and who gives us victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. You have experience of that. You may be rejoicing over your children. It is says about God, he rejoices over us with gladness. He will renew you with his love. And he will exalt you over with loud singing. Simply that he will carry us through the corridors of heaven and jumping with joy because we are in his hands. He will carry you with exalt loud singing. That is the heart of the God that is come out of the scriptures, especially from the Old Testament. If you look at the New Testament, there is a heart of God. Even death cannot separate you from me. St. Paul says, the heart of God. In this is love, John's letter. Not that we loved him first, but he loved us and loved us to the end that his son died for us. Heart of God is always for his people. To carry his people, to bear his people, and to be the victorious people. But then again, the question, how many of us will be saved? God puts us. It will be through the narrow door. It is the heart of God to love us, and he delights in us. But in doing so, he invites us to his intimate company. That is the gospel today. You know, to Jesus they says, well, Jesus, we know you. When you were preaching in the streets, we were sitting in the macos and heard loudly you were preaching at the corners. Yeah, we know you. You were the crazy guy passing through our streets. And Jesus would say to us, I don't know you. I don't know you. God's heart is so big, He invites us for a deeper, intimate relationship with Him. And what is our answer? Is our answer that you preached in our streets? We ate and drank in our company. Jesus, we were in the same pub. You may not have seen me. It was a bit dark. Oh, what I would say, Lord, I've been waiting all this time for you. The day that you come and take me home. I wanted to always have time with you at the table. I've been hoping with this Paschal joy in my heart, celebrating every day the Eucharist, holding and drinking your blood and eating your body, thinking that one day I will see my Lord face to face. And here it is, the Lamb. I see him face to face. Is that our answer? Is that the joy that carries us through? There is a deeper, challenging call. One side, God mothers us, fathers us, engulfs us with His so much love and He rejoices over us. On the other side, He wants to discipline us. And one of the definitions for discipline is disciplining to a lifestyle. Disciplining. Disciplining to set of core values which decides a person's character and behavior. He loves us like a father, loves us like a mother. But with that freedom, with that responsibility, he disciplines us. I remember my childhood. So many disciplines. The one hard discipline was when I said one lie. It was a Bollywood movie on. And I wanted to catch the releasing thing. And I wanted to be the first one rushing through, you know, thousands of people, get into the keyhole of the ticket giver and get the first ticket and go and get the back seat under a fan. I cut the school. There was a noon show. So lunch break, I skipped my afternoon school. There was an year 8. Jammed. The theater was closed. So I sat on the wall. And then as soon as it was opened, jammed out, rushed through people's legs, and got in first to get the ticket. But all this was watched by a friend of my dad. In the night, he was so loving and caring. He said, "Pony, eat." Then he gave me more food. We had the rosary. He asked me to study. I thought, thank goodness, nobody knew. I watched the movie. And I've been telling my brother, "You loser, I got it, George." And then everything was over. He called me, "Pony, come here." And you know, in my house, the tradition is you get hit first. You get the beating first. Then we have to ask the next ritual, "Why did you hit me, Father?" Otherwise, my dad won't talk. See, hit the gate and we cry, "Oh, why did he hit me? Please tell me." So we have to tell that. And then he will say, "This is why I hit you." He said, "Bonnie, you can do anything, but never say a lie in this house." My dad is year 7 dropout. He doesn't have much education or anything like that. He's a businessman. The one thing in our house which was strict, no lies. Even if I'm playing cricket while I was supposed to do homework, I can easily say to my dad, "Sorry, Dad, I was doing cricket." That's fine. I should not say a lie. That was my strict rule in the house. I couldn't say a lie. And you know, I cherish my father when in times of struggle and times of difficulty, when I had to hide my face, when challenges come, my intimate tendency to lie or to run away from things, that discipline from my father gives me the strength to own up. Okay, I stuffed up and this is what happened. And after the ritual of beating, there is another ritual my dad does. He said, "Bonnie, come here. I don't want to talk to you. You come here." All right, I came to him and he said, go and buy such and such cigarette, which he used to smoke. Now he is healed. deliverance. Go and get this cigarette. I said, I'm not getting it. Go and get it. I have got the cigarette. Tell you love your dad. I'm not saying it. Tell you love me. I love you, dad. Give me a hug. No. Give him a dad. And then the next day, he comes home with a special sweet just for me, because I got a beating yesterday. My sister won't get, my brother won't get, just for me. When I reflect back, dad never thought that I should be beaten up and bruised because he's a bad child. But in his heart, he had full of love. But he had to chastise me. He had to discipline to me into a lifestyle which would bring grace to the family rather than disgrace, which would bring benefit to the family, to the community, rather than disadvantages. Disciplining is part of life. Even in the peasant society of a Jewish community, Jesus brought out this beautiful image of vine and the branches. The branch will be pruned to bear more fruits. If you are not pruned, simply means that the farmer is waiting to cut you off because you are not wearing any branch. You are a dead branch. If you are pruned, which means that the farmer has got hope in you. Sometimes we get pruned very hard. We had one of the brothers going through our rose garden one day. I think he was maybe very angry. He pruned it very badly. You know, brothers get, you can't punch other brothers. You punch the rose bush. And when I came through, I'm like, this is like a little bush because it's a beautiful tree. Now it is blossoming there. It had to go through that pruning. Are you ready to go through the pruning? Are we ready to go through the pruning? You know, when I, in my own life, tendencies, when I talk with young people, tendencies, we become so soft. We are very soft these days. I'm sorry to tell you this. We need all this pampering love. Nobody is allowed to challenge me. The moment one person challenged me, he's out of my good book. He deleted from Facebook. I untag his photos. I don't love you anymore. Ignore him. Even a parent can challenge you. No one can challenge you. Even a priest cannot challenge you from the homily. Father, that was a hot homily. I'm not coming to this church. I'm going to the next church because that priest is old. He doesn't speak much. We are becoming soft. In my own life, sometimes when I get hard knocks, I don't want to change. I don't want to take the discipline. I don't want to swallow my pride and say, I need to change. I need to acquire this gospel value. We are becoming soft because we are too selfish. Well, it is his life. Let him deal with it. But we have a moral responsibility to tell that person, I think what you're doing is very wrong. Please, watch yourself. We are becoming very soft. We don't have a good mass. We get into trouble in the church. We walk away. For 6 months, I'm not in the church because I had a bad time. In Hebrew chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, there is a beautiful word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, that is our saints and martyrs, let us also lay aside every weight of sin that clings to us so closely. And let us run with perseverance to the race that is set before us. That is our life with Christ. Looking to Jesus, for example, who is the perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. What a beautiful word. Who persevered, Jesus who persevered for the sake of the joy that was set before him, he survived the cross. How many of us can see the face of God at the other end with an open hand welcoming us? How many of us can value in this material world an eternal life and true joy and happiness with our Lord? How many of you can imagine, experience and live out that we belong to heaven? What happened to our eternal thoughts? Where has the spirit of eternity gone? The moment if we are thinking about this only about this world, then of course symbol challenges, simple disciplines hurt us. We become so soft. I am full of me. I deserve it. I need comfort. I don't want challenging words. Sometimes we all need a kick in our back. Maybe a punch in our face. A hard word. Get out of this house. Get your life together. I'm not feeding you anymore. Are we so soft? Or are we so full of ourselves? What happened to us? Or are we losing the sight of seeing heaven in front of us? Father will never desert you. He created you. He will carry you even to your old age. Even when your hair goes gray, he will carry you. He will bury you because he is your Lord. But he will also discipline us. Let us not run away from him. He will be behind us one day, probably at the last minute, like the good thief on the cross. One day he will get us. Let us not disappoint our Lord. As he comes on this altar, let us give to him the things that we are afraid of in our life. The things that we don't want to work or we don't want to face and confront. Let us ask the Lord, give us the courage to confront our demons and cast them out and get back on the right track. Lord, chastise us. Father, discipline us. Come, Lord, purify us like a gold tested in the fire. Melt away all the malice. Come, Lord Jesus, purify us. Discipline us. Make us the best artwork of yours.